他去台湾宣教之前啊，哎，这样分享。
早安，你们看起来都很好。
You guys look good.
That's about the extent of my knowledge, even though I've been learning for a while, but I'm nowhere close to fluent yet.
但是我中文也就这水平了，我学了一段了，但是也就说这么两句。
It's been a privilege to be with every one of you here during this year that I've been at your church.
这一年来我都在这个教会，我觉得非常荣幸能够跟大家一起相处这一年。
It's hard to believe that a year has gone by already.
这真的是很难以置信，这已经都一年了。
Many of you may not know much about me.
可能很多人不太认识我。
I'm a new missionary still learning and working as God's servant.
我是一个新的宣教士，我还在学习怎么样能够成为神的仆人。
I'd like to tell you a bit about myself this morning and how I grew up.
我想要跟大家分享一下我是怎么样长大成长的过程中的事情。
I grew up in the state of Michigan.
我是在密歇根州长大。
I grew up in a pastor's home.
当然我是在一个牧师家里长大的。
I would be going to church every Sunday.
每个周末周日我都会去教会。
And every once in a while, a missionary would come to my church.
然后呢就时不时的就会有宣教师来我们的教会。
I would get to see a different part of the world.
从他们那里我就看到这个不一样的世界。
I would get to see what God is doing in that part of the world.
我也看到神在那个世界的那块地方是在神的作为。
I would get to see what it was like to live in that part.
我也看到就是在世界的那个角落人们是怎么样在生活。
I saw the things that they ate in that part of the world.
我一看到在那个世界的那个地方人们吃一些什么东西肯定跟我们这儿吃的不一样。
And as a child I thought to myself, there's no way I'd be doing that.
我那时候我还很小，我就跟我自己讲，哎呦，我要我去那种地方那可是没门，我可不会去。
Fast forward a few years later, here I am.
然后就我们就快进几年，现在我现在就站在这里。
That was also how I first met David and Christina Black.
也是那样，我因为看教会的宣教士，我也是第一次见到大卫跟这个 Christina Black， 他们来我们教会做过见证，他们也是宣教士。
And they had had a tremendous impact on my life even as a child.
我在是小孩子的时候，他们就对我的生活造成了非常大的影响。
Now growing up, I'm pretty sure many of you would have the questions, "What am I going to do with my life?"
我相信我们每个人成长的时候都会问自己这样的问题，我长大以后我要做什么，我的生命是有什么用。
What are my talents? What are my abilities?
我有什么能力呢？我有什么恩赐呢？
More importantly, what does God want me to do with my life?
更重要的就是神要用我的生命做一些什么。
These are the questions I had growing up, all the way up into my teen years.
我小的时候我常常会想这些问题，一直到我成为青少年。
Eventually, when I got old enough, I decided to go to Bible college.
然后我成年以后，我就决定我以后要去圣经学校念书。
I did not know what I was going to study.
我也不知道我以后会学些什么。
I wasn't exactly sure how long I was going to be there.
我也不知道我在这样的大学里就念书会念多久。
But I felt that I was supposed to go.
但是我就觉得我应该去。
Also, I was pretty sure my mom wanted me out of the house.
我也相信我妈妈当时已经等不及的要把我踢出家门了。
So I went and started in studying music.
所以我去了圣经学校，我学的是音乐。
I took several classes.
我选了好几门课。
None of them had anything to do with missions.
就我选的课其实都跟宣教是没有关系的。
But during one of those classes, one of my professors was telling a mission story.
但是有一次在一课上，一个教授跟我们讲了一个宣教士的故事。
I don't remember what story he was telling or what country it was from.
我也不记得这个他讲的这个故事究竟是细节是什么了，而且我也不记得这个宣教士是去的哪个国家。
But in the middle of that class, I felt the subtle quiet voice of God saying, "That's what I want you to do."
但是在那节课的中间，我就感觉到那个微小的声音在跟我讲话，那就是神想要你去的地方。
He didn't say where. He didn't say what I would, what exactly I was going to do.
那个声音没有说在什么地方，也没有说我究竟要要具体要做什么事。
But he had called me.
但是神就这样呼召了我。
So I switched my majors and started studying missions.
所以我就转换了我的专业，我就打算从音乐就转到要做宣教。
As part of my education, it was required that I was to go to mission fields and learn from the missionaries.
我当时我因为这个选了这个专业，所以我必须要有一个实习的经验，就是要去宣教工厂，要跟着宣教士一起工作。
And at that time, I did not have very much contact with anyone.
在那时候，我其实没有什么联系跟外界，所以也没有什么关系好去找一个地方。
Out of the blue, someone suggested contact David and Christina Black.
突然就有人跟我建议说，你联系大卫跟 Christina Black.
And so I did, and they were willing to have me on their mission field.
所以我就跟他们联系，他们很乐意让我去加入他们的宣教工厂。
And so for 6 weeks, I went over to Taiwan and learned under them.
所以就我就到台湾去，他们因为当时在台湾做宣教士，我跟他们一起共事了六个星期。
I got to be a part of their ministry and got to see what all they had been involved with.
我成了他们事工的一部分，我也看到他们在台湾所做的事。
It was a wonderful time, especially as I got to understand a completely different culture.
那是对我来讲，那是很精彩的一段时间，因为我到了台湾去是一个完全不同的文化。
I got to see a bit of how people are at another part of the world.
我也能够看到一点点，就是世界别的地方的人们是怎么样生活。
And I got to see how much people are the same all the world around.
而且我也看到，这世界不尽管这么大，世界各个角落都有不同的人，可是我们人其实基本上都是一样。
At the end of those 6 weeks, I woke up one morning and hearing a subtle, quiet voice saying, "You're going to come back here."
六周以后，我早上醒来。也是又一次听到那个微小的声音在跟我讲，你以后还会再回来。
And I thought to myself, is this really God?
所以我就跟我自己说，这真的是神的声音吗？
Or is it just a feeling?
或者这只是我自己的一种感受而已。
I returned back to the States and finished my degree.
所以我就回到美国来完成我的学位。
And throughout all of that, the feeling stayed with me.
但是整个就是我完成学业这段期间，这个感觉一直是跟随着我。
And I felt God continue to put it on my mind that this was what He wanted me to do.
我感觉这就是神一直把这个意念放在我心里，这就是神要我做的事。
He didn't say how long.
他也没有说要做多久。
He didn't say specifically what I was going to do.
他也没有告诉我说具体的要做什么。
He just told me.This is where you're going to go.
神就是告诉我说，这就是你要去的地方。
So after some time, I was able to go back to Taiwan and was there for 1 year.
所以又过了一段时间，我又回到台湾，在那边待了一年。
During that time, I had helped the blacks with various different things in their ministry.
所以在那一年期间，我就帮着这个 black 夫妇处理他们那边的一些事情。
I started teaching the children.
我开始教小孩子。
I started teaching English and Bible.
我教小孩子英文，教他们圣经。
I've been and teaching in classes for adults with both English and the Bible.
我也跟这个给成人开这个英文课、圣经课。
Even now, as I'm back in the States, I've continued teaching them through online classes.
其实今天我人在美国，可是我用这个上网的课、网课的形式来继续再跟他们上课。
Also during my time abroad, I've been studying Chinese.
当然我在台湾期间我也开始学中文。
It's usually at this time I would tell my audience a bit about what it's like to learn the Chinese language.
我通常我在跟大家分享的时候，我都会跟大家讲一讲学中文有多么困难。
I thought I'd forego that one this time.
我这次我就不再说是分享这个难处了。
But through all these things, God has continually shown me, this is what I want you to do.
经历这一切，神给我的话就一直在我心里，就是这就是我想要你去做的。
This is what I've called you for.
这也是我呼召你去做的事。
And in my experience, I've learned that the subtle voice of God tends to give you the information that you need at that point.
我从自身的体验来说，我觉得这个微小的声音就是在那个时候神跟你说的话，是你需要听到的。
He does not give you everything at once.
那个声音并不会给你一切你想要的东西。
He doesn't give you a day timer of what's going to happen every day.
他也不会告诉你每一天将会发生什么。
But he strengthens your faith and gives you what you need day by day.
但是他能够加强你的信心，能够供应你每日的需要。
It's my hope that you'll support me in this work that I am doing.
我很希望大家能够支持我，为我的这个宣教事工来支持我。
So that I, with your help and the many others, may continue to spread the word of God.
所以，因着大家的支持和一些别的我的很多别的支持者的这个帮助，我可以把这个福音帮助把福音传到世界。
God calls some people to go.
神呼召了一些人出去。
And others he calls to send.
但是另外一些人他说要差遣。
No matter what role we are given, we must answer God's call.
我们无论神给我们的角色是什么样的，我们都必须要回应神的呼召。
I want to tell you a short story this morning about a lady named Lucina Gray.
我想跟大家讲一个女士 Lucina Gray 的故事。
Lucina Gray was born in 1896.
她是在1896年出生。
She was born an orphan and had gone through the foster system nearly all of her childhood.
她是生下来是个孤儿，所以她一直就是被人在各个家庭寄养。
God had touched her heart, though.
神就触摸了他的心。
She enrolled in Moody Bible Institute and later received the call toward missions.
所以他就后来去穆迪圣经学院去上学，然后长大以后成为一位宣教士。
She felt she was being called to countries in Africa.
他就感觉到神呼召他去非洲宣教。
Before she was able to go, she had medical checkups and realized that she could not travel abroad.
他当时去非洲之前，他就要做体检嘛，因为要打很多疫苗。结果他发现他的体质不合适去。
This is enough to make anyone disheartened and depressed.
对任何人来讲，这都是很大的打击，可能会觉得很灰心丧气。
But afterward, she prayed this prayer to God, saying, "Lord, if I cannot go, send my children."
之后他就做了一个祷告，他说：“主啊，如果我不能去，请你差遣我的孩子去。”
Send my children's children.
让我的孩子的孩子去。
Later on, she got married, and in time she had 7 children.
之后她也结婚，生了七个孩子。
One of her sons indeed became a missionary and went to Zimbabwe.
她的孩子们之中的一位的确是成为去津巴布韦的宣教士。
Later on, her grandson also became a missionary.
之后他的孙子辈里面又出现了一位宣教士。
And he and his family were missionaries in Spain for over 20 years.
他的这个家和他的家人一起在西班牙做20年的宣教士。
Another one of her sons became a pastor.
他的另外一个儿子成为一位牧师。
And later on, his son became a pastor.
然后之后这个牧师的儿子又成为牧师。
And afterward,her great-grandson became a missionary.
之后，他的曾孙子也成为宣教士。
Lucina Gray was my great-grandmother.
Lucina Gray 就是他的曾祖母。
She married into the Bundy family without knowing and having any idea how much God would answer that prayer.
她当时嫁进这个家庭的时候，她根本不知道神会在他们这个家族做些什么事。
I did not enter into this ministry out of her story.
我不是因为她的故事我才开始我的事工的。
It was only a couple of months ago that my father had told me that story.
我自己只在几个月之前才知道我曾祖母的这个故事。
I enter this ministry because it is God's calling.
我进入这个事工是因为是神呼召了我。
If any of you are willing to answer the call,
如果你们中间有个人愿意回应这个呼召，
He will take you to different heights than you ever would have seen.
神会带你到不同的高度，你根本都想象不到的地方。
I can tell you many stories about the people that I've worked with in Taiwan.
我可以跟大家分享很多我在台湾见到的这些人给我的故事。
I can tell you more about my desire to see a change in their lives.
我也可以告诉你我多么希望我们神在我们每个人身上都带来改变。
But I believe I don't have time.
我相信我没时间跟大家讲这么多的故事。
But I believe if God is wanting you to support me in this ministry, that you will answer that call.
我相信如果神呼召你能够来支持我的这个事工，神你也会回应神的呼召。
If you cannot give, then please by all means give your prayers.
如果你不能够在经济上支持我，我也请大家用祷告来支持我。
You'll find my prayer card in the foyer.
我们在前面这个大厅里头有他的这个宣教的单子。
And I will deeply appreciate your prayers.
我会非常的感谢你们为我祷告。
And I will greatly remember all of you as I prepare to go overseas.
我在准备着去海外宣教的这个过程中，我会记着我们大家每一个人和你们的支持。
Thank you.
谢谢。
May God bless you.
愿神祝福你们。
Thank you, Brother Nathaniel.
谢谢拿丹耶。
To answer God's call.
回应了神的呼召。
To a place that very different from yours.
他去到一个跟他的家乡完全不一样的地方。
Different language, different culture.
不同的语言，不同的文化。
Thank you.
谢谢。
下一页。So while I was preparing for this sermon, I found these pictures I'd like to share with you.
我今天想跟大家分享几张照片，就是我在准备今天的讲道的时候找到了这几张旧照片。
Yeah, so I was sitting with my parents.
我是跟我的父母坐在一起。
And standing to my to next my mom is my wife Linda, who's the pianist.
我们也看到 Linda 就是今天弹琴的 Linda 姐妹，就是张弟兄的太太。
And standing next to my dad is my youngest sister.
还有他的小妹妹。
And then taking the picture is my younger sister.
当时照给他们照这张照片的是大妹妹。
So we are a sibling of three. I'm the oldest.
所以我们家是三个兄弟姐妹，我是老大。
In case you want to try to date this picture, I'll just give you a clue.
你想要知道这个照片什么时候照的吗？我给你们一点点线索。
I am now as old as my dad in the picture.
我现在的年龄就是照片中我爸爸当时的年龄。
So when I was 14, my dad decided to immigrate his whole family from South Korea to the United States.
我14岁的时候，我爸爸决定把全家从韩国移民到美国来。
He wanted to find a better opportunity.
他想要找到更好的机会。
Yeah, back then, the opportunity for a Chinese in South Korea wasn't too good.
因为在那个时候，在韩国的华侨日子不太好过的。
He was able to get a visa sponsored by a U.S. company.
所以当时他拿到的签证是一个美国公司给他支持的一个签证。
But he had a very tough decision to make.
但是这个决定对他是非常困难的。
My grandma refused to move with us.
因为我的奶奶不愿意跟我们一起搬家。
Yeah, she was old and my grandpa was buried in South Korea.
因为他年纪很大了，而且我的爷爷是被埋在韩国。
So her wish was to be buried with him, so going to U.S. was out of the question.
她是希望以后能够跟爷爷葬在一起，所以奶奶绝对不肯来美国的。
So, how can the only son of the family leave an 80-year-old mother alone in South Korea while he's chasing the American dream?
所以我爸爸是个独生子啊，他怎么能够把八十岁的老母亲留在韩国，自己到美国来追寻他的美国梦呢？
He has one. He has a, on one hand, he has this great opportunity for better future.
他的一个手上是拿着说到了美国会有更好的机会。
But then on the other hand, he has the duty to be a better son.
他另一个手上他要孝顺自己的母亲啊。
My dad struggled.
所以我爸爸挣扎得很厉害。
And even after many years in the U.S., he just agonized over his decisions.
即使是到了美国很多年以后，他想起他这个决定，他还是心里头很难过。
But to me, my dad was a loving father who wanted to provide for his family.
但是对我来讲，我爸爸是个很有爱的父亲，他想要为他的家人做供应最好的。
The company that sponsored him really could not hire him as they intended.
但是这个美国公司当初给他签证的这个公司，后来发现他们没法雇我爸爸，也是因为各种经济的原因。
Yeah, the whole country was in recession when we arrived.
我们到了美国以后才发现，美国当时是经济大衰退的时候。
So my dad fell back to his plan B.
所以我爸爸只好就开始要开始他的第二套计划。
And he decided to learn to be a air conditioner technician.
所以他就决定说做一个空调的修理工。
Technically, he had no problem.
他从技术上说毫无问题。
But his English prevented him from doing what he was at best.
但是他的英文不够好，所以他去做工作总会受影响。
So when this AC technician did not work out, so he fell back to his plan C.
所以他这个做这个空调修理工的这个计划也没有能完成，所以他就打算要第三套计划。
So he decided to learn to be a cook at a Chinese restaurant.
所以他就打算在一个中国餐馆做这个这个。做厨师。
I tell you, restaurant job is a back-breaking job.
我告诉你，在餐馆打工可真是非常辛苦的一个，体力上很辛苦。
Yeah, those of you I know.
我们中间有很多餐馆的工人都可以。
And yet he endured, so he could send all his children to college for a better future.
但是我爸爸就一直这么做下去了，所以他可以把几个孩子都送去上大学。
So I was the beneficiary of a series of his decisions.
对我爸爸，我就是我爸爸一系列的决定的受益人。
So why am I telling my dad's story?
我为什么跟大家分享我爸爸的故事？
Because his story impacted me greatly.
因为他的故事大大的影响了我。
And his story is grafted into the story of my life.
因为他的故事也实际上是就像一个枝子一样接到我的生命里去了。
His story shaped me to be the good provider for my family.
他的故事也影响我，让我成为我家里人。
He loved my mom.
他很爱我的妈妈。
So he shaped me to be the good husband.
也塑造我成为一个更好的丈夫。
He loved his children.
他爱自己的孩子。
And he shaped me to be the best dad that my daughter Priscilla can ever have.
所以也这帮着塑造我，让我成为我女儿能有的最好的爸爸。
下一页。So my dad's story is simply a series of outcomes connected to a series of decisions.
所以我的爸爸的他的生命的故事实际上就是一系列的决定的一系列后果。
In many cases, decisions were made in responses to other people's decisions, like to be a cook in a restaurant.
有时候我们的决定也是要受别人的决定的影响，比如我爸爸不得不就在餐馆打工。
Nonetheless, that he was writing the story of his life.One decision at a time.
但是不管怎么样，他每次的决定都要写下一个人生的故事。
Yeah, something about decision is that private decisions can have a public implication, sometimes generational implications.
我们的决定看有时候看起来是私下里我们做的决定，但是这个决定有可能对于公众、对于公开的会造成影响，而且甚至对我们的下一代会造成很大的影响。
Had my dad decided to stay in Korea?
如果我爸爸决定就留在韩国。
I would stay in Korea and I have never met my wife.
我就会在韩国长大，我也永远不会见到我太太。
I would not have met all of you.
我也不会见到我们中间的人。
So our personal decisions will impact other persons.
我们自己的个人的决定会对别人的生命造成影响。
But we just don't think about our lives as stories.
我们通常想到我们的生命的时候，没想到说我的生命是什么故事。
Yeah, but stories that you will tell or a story will told about you.
我们这个故事就是你会跟别人讲的你的故事，或者是别人说到你的时候说到你的事情。
Because every decision you make becomes a permanent part of your life.
因为我们所做的每一个决定都成为我们生命之中永久的一个部分。
So what story do you want to tell?
所以你想要讲什么样的故事？
Do you want to be the hero of the story or the villain?
你想要成为你故事之中的这个英雄呢，还是成为那个坏蛋？
Or do you want to be, do you want to set the good example or the bad example?
或者你想要树立一个好的榜样，还是个坏的榜样？
But the good news is,
但是好消息是，
you get to decide.
你是做决定的这个人。
But you decide one decision at a time because you write your story one decision at a time.
你来做决定，写下你的故事，因为你每做一个决定，你的人生就写下一个故事。
Let's say your boss asks you to lie to your client.
我们想象一下，如果你的老板让你对客户撒谎。
You're not a liar, but you lied anyway.
你不喜欢撒谎啊，可是你因为老板决定的嘛，你就只好撒了谎。
And then the client found out, and then call you out.
然后这个客户发现了，你就露馅了。
And your boss threw you under the bus, and then you lost your job.
然后老板就把你出卖了，于是你就丢了工作。
Yeah. So the part of your story is that you lied and lost your job.
这个故事可以一部分是说你撒了谎，所以就丢了工作。
You probably don't want people to find out.
你也许不希望人们发现这个现象，这个事实。
Yeah, a better story would have been that you refused to lie and lost your job.
但是一个要更好一点的写这个故事的话，你就是我拒绝撒谎，但是结果就是我丢了工作。
Yeah, you'll be proud to tell that story to people.
你跟把这个故事跟别人分享的时候，你可能会很骄傲。
And as we go through some of tough times, let's say you lost your job.
我们在生活之中遇到困难的时候，比如说失去了工作。
Or maybe you got diagnosis from your doctor.
又或者你的医生跟你讲说你得了什么什么病。
Or maybe you have a relationship problem with your family.
又或者你跟某个家人之间这个关系上有点问题。
Whatever the challenge is, but you have to make decisions to go through.
无论你面对的是什么样的情况，你总会要做决定来度过这个困境。
But once it's behind you, it all reduced to a story you tell.
但是这个事情过去之后，这就成为一个故事，你要跟别人讲的故事。
When the situation you are in passes, it will all become a story of your life.
当这个情形、这个困难过去之后，你会发现这就是你生命的一部分。
What story do you want to tell?
你想要讲什么样的故事？
Lately, I've been thinking about heaven a lot.
近来我常常想到天堂的事。
Because several people that we know passed away recently.
因为我们教会里就有好几位弟兄姐妹最近就去世了。
Heaven is our home, so it's good to think about it sometimes.
天堂是我们的家，所以常常想一想天堂也是很好的事。
I'm sure that I'll meet a lot of people in heaven.
我相信我会在天堂见到很多人。
I wonder about their stories.
我会想他们都有什么故事呢？
People from different place and time than mine.
这些人就是从不同的时代、不同的地方，跟我生活的完全不一样。
How did they come to follow Jesus?
他们是怎么样来跟从耶稣的呢？
What kind of struggles did they go through to overcome?
他们究竟要克服什么样的困难才做这个决定？
How did Jesus help them?
耶稣又怎么样帮助了他们？
I'm sure we're all going to tell our stories in heaven.
我相信我们每个人在天堂里都会讲我们的故事。
But what if someone asks you in heaven about your story and you said this?
如果你在天堂里见到什么人，他问你，你的故事是什么？你会这么说？
Well, I was saved, in 16, but I drifted and did not follow the Lord.
你说啊，我十六岁就决志信主了，就得到主就拯救了我，但是呢，我有点飘来飘去的，就没有跟从主。
I did not serve, and then I did not bring anyone to heaven with me.
我也没有服侍神，所以我也没有带任何人到天堂去。
Now that's not the story that you're proud to share in heaven.
你如果讲这么一个故事，你可能不会引以为荣吧。
A better story would have been that you served Jesus and shared the gospel.
一个更好的一个版本呢，可能就是你，也是你。跟大家分享福音，你也带人信主。
And your labor brought many people to heaven.
然后你的这个辛苦的工作带了很多人到天堂去。
And they are there with you to say Amen.
然后这些人都在你的周围跟听你讲故事的时候，他们说 Amen.
So what story will you tell?
那么你想要讲什么样的故事？
What decision will you make?
你要做什么样的决定？
The good news is that you get to decide one decision at a time on this side of the heaven.
一个好消息就是我们在天堂的这一边我们可以做决定来决定自己要写什么样的人生故事。
So write a good story worth telling.
所以要写下一个值得去跟别人传讲的故事。
So we just heard Nathaniel's testimony and his decision to be a missionary.
我们刚刚听到拿但业的故事然后和他做决定为什么他要成为宣教士。
He's writing his story.
他在写他的故事。
Right. And I encourage you to be part of his story in prayerful and financial support.
我也鼓励每一位在祷告上在经济上去支持他成为他故事的一部分。
Your decision to support helps him write his story.
你帮助他你对他的支持也帮助他写他的故事。
When he tells his missionary story, you know that you are part of his story.
所以当他以后分享他的宣教故事的时候你也是这个故事的一部分。
So if you'd like to support him and talk to him, get to know him after service.
如果你想要去支持他在会后也可以去找他去跟他谈话去了解他更多。
So now the primary challenge that we don't think in terms of story when we make decision is that story is later, decisions are now.
我们在做决定的时候很少想到说之后这就会是我的一个故事，因为我们做的决定是现在就立刻马上要做的，故事呢是以后才讲。
Right. Yeah. We're distracted by pressure and emotions we feel in the moment.
因为在目前我要做这个决定，因为我有很大的压力，我必须立刻要做决定。
You are up against the deadline, so you need to make a decision soon.
因为可能期限马上就到了，我立刻要马上要做一个决定。
If you don't meet your quota, you will get fired.
也许我要是我的这个定额都没完成的话，你就会被解雇掉。
Yeah, you are so angry that you want to revenge.
或者你现在对什么事特别生气，想要报复。
Yeah, and then you're so in love with her, so you want to move in with her.
或者你跟女朋友感情好的不行，你就决定婚前我们就同居了。
So when we are under pressure, it's hard to think about tomorrow and much less the story we want to tell.
如果我们是在压力之下，我们很难会想到明天，我们更不用说以后才要讲的故事。
Yeah, when our emotion is high, our decision process focuses on the immediate rather than the ultimate.
因为我们的如果情绪很激荡的时候，我们很难去做出一个永久的一个为了最终的决定，而是只是想要解决目前现在的问题。
So this is something that we need to practice.
所以这是我们需要操练的一件事。
Not to make decisions under pressure or at high emotion.
所以不要在压力之下，或者是在这个情绪激荡的情况下做决定。
Yeah, let me think about it. Actually, this is not a bad thing to say.
你可以跟人说啊，让我想一想。这个听起来好像是好像推诿，不愿意做决定。实际上这不是一个坏事。
When something keeps on arousing your frustration or anger, step back and not to move forward.
如果有一件事一直让你觉得挫败，让你觉得非常的那个生气的话，你就往后退一步，想一想。
When you're faced with anything or anyone that has this strong emotional appeal, press pause, not play.
如果让你什么事、什么人让你觉得情绪非常激动的时候，你就按一下暂停键，不要播放。
And give yourself some time and space to think about it.
你给你自己一点时间空间，想一想这件事。
And step back and let your rational mind to step in.
你就后退一步，让你的理智、理性思考能够来做一个理智的决定。
Yeah. Talk to your wife or call a friend.
你跟太太谈一谈，跟一个朋友电话里聊一聊。
Consider your story.
想一想你要写的是什么故事。
Because your story will bring the decision process within the context of your entire life.
因为如果你想到这是你以后的一个人生故事，你就是在你人生整个的人生的一个上下文里面去看你现在的决定。
So what story do you want to tell?
所以你想要讲什么样的故事？
Now the scripture actually has a full of stories of people who got this question right, and some of them got this question wrong.
我们圣经里边有无数的人生故事，我们看到有些人把故事写得很好，有的人写得不怎么样。
And there's one familiar story that illustrates the benefits and consequences of getting this story right or getting story wrong.
我们知道圣经里有这样一个故事，它很明白地跟我们显示出来，就是我们做正确的决定和错误的决定，我们的故事是什么样的。
And you know this story very well.
我们大家都知道这个故事。
Yeah, because both Dr. Michael Wynn and Dr. Wingham used the story in their sermon.
因为麦牧师跟温牧师都在他们的讲道里面提到这个故事。
So you'll hear it again from me the third time at least.
所以今天你又从我这儿听到这个故事，第三遍，至少第三遍。
Yeah, this story must be good. So I encourage you to study this in Genesis chapter 37.
这个故事肯定是个好故事，要不然我们又不会每个人都讲一遍。所以我鼓励大家去读创世纪第三十七章，第三十七章。
Yeah, and then but I'll give you the condensed version.
我给大家这个压缩版本。
Yeah, so Joseph was a teenager in a tough spot among his 10 older brothers.
约瑟，我们知道约瑟他有十个哥哥。他在家里头这个位置是有点为难的一个位置。
Because he was their father Jacob's favorite son.
因为他是他爸爸最偏爱的一个儿子。
And Jacob made a very special ornate robe and to just for him.
所以这个他爸爸雅各就为了显示对儿子的偏爱，就给他做了一件彩衣，只是为他一个人做了一件漂亮的一个外袍。
Yeah, every time he wears it, it's a reminder to his brothers that he's daddy's favorite.
他每次穿着这个漂亮的袍子出来，他哥哥们都会又一次被提醒他爸爸最偏爱这个小儿子。
And on top of that, Joseph told his brothers about his dreams that one day they will bow to him.
而且这约瑟又跟他的这个哥哥们讲，他做了个梦，梦里头他哥哥们所有都在向他鞠躬。是跪拜
yeah,
还不是鞠躬而已
yeah,
跪拜他
yeah, right, yeah. So his brothers just hated him all the more.
他的哥哥们一听这话更是恨他了。
So one day his father asked Joseph to check on his brothers on how they were tending the flocks.
所以有一天他爸爸就说 你到地里去看看你哥哥们他们看放羊子放得怎么样。
And this happened before.
这事儿以前也发生过。
Joseph's previous report really wasn't very good.
约瑟可能以前 把哥哥们做的事儿可能告诉爸爸，爸爸挺生气的。
Yeah, that let his brothers get into trouble with their father.
所以这些哥哥们大概是受了爸爸的罚。
So, when this time when the brothers saw Joseph coming their way,
所以这次当哥哥们远远看见这约瑟朝他们跑过来。
And they decided to act on their jealousy and anger simmered inside for so long.
他们就决定把心里头压抑已久的这个嫉妒和愤怒要这次要爆发一下。
Yep, they decided to kill him.
所以他们就决定要把这个小弟弟给杀了。
But as Joseph got closer, they lost the nerve and instead threw him into an empty well.
但是约瑟跑他们跟前以后，他们又有点觉得胆怯不敢干了，所以就决定把他这个小弟弟扔到一个枯井里面。
But perhaps maybe they'll regain the nerve to kill him later.
他们想的也许，哎呦，过一会儿我劲头再上来了，这个怒气又来了，我说不定就把他杀了。
But then they saw a caravan of merchants going to Egypt.
但是这时候他们看到一队驼队就往埃及去，就是一些商人到埃及去。
You know, selling their brother is more merciful than killing.
他们想想，哎呦，把这弟弟给杀了。那还不如把它卖了呢，这把它卖了可能显得还有点同情心。
Yeah, and plus it's much more profitable.
而且可以赚点钱呢。
Yeah, so they decided that to sell their own brother for some silver.
所以他们就决定就把他们自己的亲弟弟给卖了。
And then they decided to lie to their father.
而且他们也决定要跟爸爸撒谎。
They took his ornate coat, the symbol of their father's favorite son.
他们就拿着弟弟这件彩衣，就是他爸爸偏爱的一个证据。
And then they tore and then dip in the goat's blood.
他们把这衣服给撕裂了，然后又浸在这个山羊的血里面。
And then they return home and then just acting grief that their brother is being killed by this wild beast.
然后他们就回家，哎呦，装着痛哭流涕的说：“爸爸，你看呐，小弟弟就被野兽给吃了。”
But when Jacob saw the torn, bloody robe of his favorite son.His heart was broken.
他们的爸爸看到，哎呦，小儿子衣服都被撕裂了，他心都碎了。
And now, the Joseph's ten brothers now have a secret that they will live with for the rest of their lives.
所以现在他这十个哥哥心里头就有这么一个不可告人的秘密，他们一辈子都会要带着这个秘密活下去。
And one decision at a time wrote their stories.
他们的决定，每一个决定都是写下一个故事。
Okay, now imagine that if we could just drop in on Joseph's brother while they were contemplating how to channel their emotions.
所以想象一下，如果你穿越回去，他这十个哥哥正在那商量着说怎么样要对付这个小弟弟的时候，你听到了。
What if we could ask our question? Hey, what story do you want to tell?
你当时你要是问他们一个问题，你说 Hey, 你们要想讲什么样的故事呢？
Hey guys, you know how you choose to treat your brother is eventually will become a story you will tell.
所以如果你跟他的哥哥们讲说嘿你们对你小弟弟这个做法以后就会是你们往外讲的这个故事了
And depending on what you decide to do it may be a secret you keep for life
你做什么样的决定也许以后你一辈子就要背着这个决定去过生活
You may be making yourself liars for life
也许你一辈子都得撒着谎过日子
I mean, Is that the story you want to tell?
你想要讲这样一个故事吗
I mean, Do you think that the brothers may have a second thought about selling their brother?
所以如果你当时就在现场跟他的哥哥们要问这个问题的话你想象一下他哥哥们会不会还是把他弟弟给卖了
I mean, maybe not, right?
也许他们还是会这么做也许他们就会再想一想
But we need to learn how to pause and give ourselves the option to consider what story we want to tell
但是我们得要给自己这么一个选择让我们能够暂停能够想一想我们以后要讲什么样的故事
Okay, now, Joseph is sold as a slave to Pharaoh's official named Potiphar.
我们知道约瑟后来被卖进法老的一个手下的一个大臣的波提法的家。
And then now, Joseph has a decision to make.
然后约瑟也要做一个决定。
Do I run away?
我是不是要逃跑呢
Do I want to be most like most slave and just doing as little as possible?
我是不是像别的奴隶一样什么事能不做就不做
Or do I do my best in this, making this a new slave gig?
或者我是不是还是努力的去做到最好
It's a very interesting dilemma for a rich boy who grew up as the favorite son.
你看，约瑟从小是他爸爸的最偏爱的儿子，也在一个富裕家庭长大，现在居然成了一个阶下囚，他怎么办？他成了一个奴隶，他该做什么样的决定
？But here's something that we can really relate to.
我们其实可以跟他可以有共鸣的
，because he had done nothing to deserve this.
因为他没 没做任何错事啊，他不应该是有这样的结果吗？
When someone else took control of his story,
但是别人控制了他，让他写下他这一段故事。
Someone made a very selfish decision that hijacked his story.
因为别人做了一个很自私的决定，把他的故事就给改写了，挟持了。
Yeah. So why try? Why care?
所以对约瑟来讲，我还是什么呢？我还为什么要关心我做什么呢？
Because but that's always a temptation when someone else decides your story in a bad direction.
如果别人把你的故事给写了一个很糟糕的结局，你肯定觉得很生气。那你该怎么做？
But somehow Joseph overcame this temptation of a negative mode.
但是约瑟却没有让这个负面的情绪占上风。
And he decided to do his best to serve his master.
他决定还是要做最好的来服侍他的主人。
And before long, Potiphar noticed him.
不久以后，波提法就注意到他了。
下一页。Yeah. The author of Genesis states it this way.
我们在创世纪里读到的就是这样写的。
So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate.
波提法将一切所有的都交在约瑟的手中，除了自己所吃的饭，别的事儿一概不知。
Well, thanks to his decision to be all in.
你看，约瑟做决定就是他要全心全意地服侍他的主人。
So Joseph ended up running Potiphar's household.
所以约瑟就成了波提法的管家了。
So this is a story worth telling.
这是一个可以值得跟别人讲的故事。
Yeah, but Joseph's story intersects with someone else's story.
但是约瑟的故事跟别人的故事又交织在一起了。
And Joseph has to make another decision in a no-win situation.
约瑟还得要做一个决定，在这一个很困难的一个情况下的决定。
下一页。Now Joseph was well-built and handsome.
约瑟原来秀雅俊美。
Yeah. You know what trouble will coming, right?
你们知道一个帅哥会招来什么样的事？
Yeah. After a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me," but he refused.
这事以后，约瑟的主人的妻以目送情给约瑟说，你与我同寝。约瑟不从。
Joseph refused and avoided Potiphar's wife.
所以约瑟是拒绝了，而且他一直躲避这个波提法的妻子。
He viewed his decision of refusal within the context of his story.
他是用他的故事，他的人生的这个上下文里面在看他的这个决定。
He told his master's wife this way.
所以他告诉这个主人的妻子。
下一页。With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care.No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? 下一页。
他对主人的妻说，看哪，一切家务我主人都不知道，他把所有的都交在我手里，在这家里没有比我大的，并且他没有留下一样不交给我，只留下了你，因为你是他的妻子，我怎能做这大恶得罪神呢？
Okay. Well, so kind of translation a bit. Mrs. Potiphar, I mean, you really need to think about this.
所以想想看，这个波提法的太太是怎么想的。
Yeah. You know, I mean, do you really want an affair with a Hebrew slave on your resume?
这个波提法的太太真，波提。
He's talking to her. Mrs. Potiphar, do you need to think about this?
所以他可以，我们想象一下，他说不定对这个波提法太太是这么说的：你真的希望你的这个简历里面有一个希伯来的奴隶吗？
嗯、yeah. And are you sure you want that part of story be in your story?
你在你的这个人生故事里，你真的希望写下这样一章吗
？I was slave and had nothing.
我是个奴隶啊，我什么也没有。
And your husband, you know, purchased me and has entrusted everything to me.
你的先生雇了我，而且把家里的一切都交给我。
Why would I want to add adultery and betrayal?To my story, that is going so well.
我的故事现在为止写得挺好的。我为什么要让我的故事里头有奸淫啊，有出卖的这一部分呢？
How can I do such a wicked thing to and turn my back on God, who's been so good to me?
因为神一直对我这么好，我怎么能做这个大恶，能够来得罪神呢？
So which story that would I rather tell?
我要讲什么样的故事呢？
So now we know what story that Mrs. Potiphar decided to tell.
我们也知道波提法太太想要讲什么样的故事。
Yeah. So she grabbed Joseph's cloak when he escaped.
所以她就揪住了这个约瑟的袍子，约瑟就跑掉了，她把这个袍子给扯下来。
Yeah. And then she yelled rape and then landed Joseph in Pharaoh's dungeon.
她就在那叫啊，强暴啊，结果就约瑟就被投入大牢了。
下一页。 But Joseph's story isn't over.
但是约瑟的故事并没有写完。
Neither is yours.
你的故事也没有完。
Sometimes when we are in this long and difficult season of our life,
有时候我们在生命之中最艰难的一个季节里度过的时候
Yeah, that seems like that chapter is the entire story.
我们以为这个章节就是整个的故事。
It doesn't have to be.
不需要。
Because oftentimes it's our response and the decision in those difficult chapters that will make all the differences.
因为常常的我们在困难时期所做的决定造成了一切的都不一样。
Because all the difference between a story ends badly and a story ends well.
我们的决定可以来使得我们的故事是有个好的结局还是坏的结局
So while in prison Joseph did his best as usual
约瑟在监狱里还是像他过去一样他努力的去做
And soon the warden put him in charge of the prison
所以很快司狱就让他来管理整个的监狱了、
下一页 So then many many years later at least two long years later he was summoned to the presence of a pharaoh to interpret his dreams
然后很多很多年以后至少是整整两年以后他被叫到法老面前跟他解梦
God has given Joseph the gift to interpret dreams
因为神给了约瑟他这样的恩赐他可以解梦
And Joseph said that 7 years of great abundance are coming but 7 years of a severe famine will follow
所以他就解这个法老的梦他说有七个丰年丰收年之后有七个饥荒年
So to look for a wise man and put him in charge of reserving the harvest during the first 7 years
所以他就建议法老你要找一个智慧人把这七年丰收年的这个丰收的这些果实啊什么都收起来贮藏起来预备之后的六个荒年、七个荒年
And this food will be used during the 7 years of famine
这就是为这个七个灾年做准备
Pharaoh really liked this guy.
所以这法老很欣赏这个年轻人。
Not only he could interpret his dream,
他能够给他解梦。
But this guy could come up with a plan to solve this problem of a coming famine.
他不只能够解梦，而且能够告诉他这个饥荒来了以后该怎么办。
Yeah, no king wants a famine in his country, right?
当然，他作为国王，谁想要自己国内是闹饥荒呢
？Yeah, so Pharaoh put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt.
所以就法老就让约瑟做全埃及的宰相。
Yeah, Joseph ascended to be the second in command in the land of Egypt.
所以约瑟就一下成了埃及地的这个二把手了。
Yeah, so and that's a great story.
这是个很好的故事。
Because it elevated from the lowest slave to the prime minister of the superpower nation at that time.
你看他开始他是在就是最底层的一个奴隶，现在居然成了当时的这个超级大国埃及的首相。
So Joseph worked on his plan in the first 7 years.
所以在这前面的七个丰年，约瑟就照着他的计划去做。
And when the famine came, his story makes a very interesting turn that requires him to make the most important and most difficult decision of his life.
然后这七个灾年来了，结果他的故事就在这时候有个很有趣的一个转折，也是他的人生最难做的一个决定。
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the famine also affected the land of Canaan where Joseph's family lived.
因为当时这个灾年也影响到迦南地，迦南地就是约瑟的这个父家在那儿住。
下一页。So his 10 brothers went to Egypt to buy grain.
他这十个哥哥就到埃及去买粮食。
Guess which storehouse they went to buy grain?
你猜猜看，他们去的是哪个仓库
？The one that Joseph visited that day.
他们去买粮的那个仓库，正好就是约瑟那天巡游的时候来到这个仓库。
And then they bowed down before him.
他们就在约瑟面前跪拜。
Joseph recognized them, but they did not recognize him.
约瑟认出他这十个哥哥的，哥哥们没有认出他来。
Okay, let's just put a pause for a minute of the scene.
我们就在这里也按下暂停键。
When Joseph was 17 years old,
约瑟那时候只有十七岁。
These 10 grown-up men sold him to a stranger for a profit with no concern of what would happen to their young brother.
这十个哥哥当时已经成年了，他们就把这个小弟弟卖给一个陌生人，而且完全不关心以后这个在弟弟身上会发生什么事。
And he was separated from his father for over 20 years.
就此，他就跟他爸爸就人为的被隔绝了二十年。
Now these people need to buy food and bow down before him.
现在这些人要过来跟他买粮食，在他面前跪拜。
And he had the power to do whatever he pleased with them.
他现在手中有了权力，他可以对他们做他任何想要做的事。
What do you do when you have the power to determine your enemy's destiny?
如果你手中有权力可以决定你敌人的命运，你会怎么做
What do you decide in a moment like this?
在这样的情况下，如果是你，你怎么做？
Well, it depends on the story you want to tell.
这也是取决于你要讲什么样的故事。
When you decide on whatever everyone expects you to do, nobody notices your story.
如果你做的就是大家所有人都觉得你就是会这么做，那不会，别人也不会在意你的故事。
But when you decide against the norm,
但是你如果你做的跟大家所想象的不一样，
against the human nature,
跟着人性所正常的人性所发生的结果不一样的话，
against what everyone else does, your story stands out.
如果你的决定跟所有人想象之中的都不一样，你的故事就脱颖而出了。
And that's what Joseph did.
约瑟就是这么做的。
So after a series of twists and turns, Joseph revealed himself to his brother.
在一系列的这个故事的转折之后，约瑟就把他的身份显示给他的哥哥们。
And they were terrified because they knew that he could take revenge on them.
他的哥哥们这会子吓坏了，他们知道现在约瑟要想报复的话，他是就可以做。
But Joseph would not ruin his good story with a revenge chapter.
但是约瑟可不想在他的好故事里面写一章关于报复的这么一章。
He decided against this gravitational pull of bitterness.
他没有让这个自己的心里的这个苦毒把自己拽下去。
He lived a life as if God was present.
但是他的生活过得就好像神就在他旁边一样。
All the decisions that he has made had God in mind.
他所有做的决定都是有神在他的头脑里面。
So he decided to write a better story with God.
所以他想要跟神一起写一个更好的故事。
So he showed kindness to his brothers and settled them in the land of Egypt as a guest of a prime minister.
所以他对于他们哥哥们很好，而且把哥哥们和他父亲全家都搬到埃及，成为上宾。
下一页。So what can help you and me write a story worth telling?
所以这个故事，我们读到的这个约瑟的故事，怎么样帮助你和我讲出一个更好的故事呢？
If you are a follower of Jesus, remember your identity.
如果你是跟从耶稣的，要想一想你的身份。
You are a son or daughter of the Almighty God.
你是这全能的上帝的儿子或者女儿。
Our Heavenly Father loves you and wants to write your story with you.
我们的天父爱你，他想要跟你一起写你的故事。
And you write your story one decision at a time.
你做一个决定，你就写下一个你自己的故事。
So make decisions that will make your heavenly Father proud.
所以要做一个决定，能够让你的天父以之为荣的一个决定。
But if you're not yet a follower of Jesus,
如果你还没有跟从耶稣
，I'd like to tell you that our heavenly Father loves you.
我还是想告诉你，我们的天父也爱你。
He loves you so much that he did not spare his Son to save you.
他是如此的爱你，他甚至都没有。舍不得他自己的儿子，让他的儿子来为你死，来拯救你。
He wants to have a relationship with you.
他想要跟你有个关系。
Won't you please consider and get to know him?
你要不要想一想去认识我们的天父呢？
Because he wants to write your story with you.
因为他
a better story.
他想要跟你一起来写你的故事。
A better story than on your own.
也比你自己。去写的要更好的一个故事。
But what if you have made, but what if you have already made some bad decisions?
那如果你过去曾经做过一些很糟糕的决定，那怎么办呢？
Decisions that you wish that you could do it over again. Decisions that you don't want people to find out.
你过去的这些决定，说不定你想，哎呀，我要能重新做一次决定就好了，或者你根本不想让人知道你曾经这样做过。
Joseph has a famous quote to his brothers.
约瑟对他的哥哥们有一句话，也是很有名的，我们在圣经里读到的这句话。
下一页。You intended to harm me, but God intended for good.
从前你们的意思是要害我，但神的意思原是好的。
Our God is a God who redeems us.
我们的神是救赎我们的神。
He can take bad decisions to make it good for us.
他可以把坏的决定改成一个对我们。
It may involve we repent.
这个，但我们必须要悔改。
Or we forgive.
我们要能够原谅。
Or we ask for forgiveness.
或者我们要求原谅。
Or we restitute our wrong.
或者我们把过去的错能够改掉。
Whatever it is, allow God to continue writing your story with you.
无论过去是什么，你要允许神能够跟你一起来写你的故事。
下一页。I want to challenge you to make a decision right now.
我想要。挑战大家，你现在就做一个决定。
Memorize it, write it down.
把你这个故事，把 能够把它写下来，把它背下来，把它写下来。
This is a legacy decision.
这是一个能够传承下去的一个决定。
I'll decide a story I'll be proud to tell.
我想要讲一个我可以引以为荣的故事。
Every time you face with a decision to make, ask yourself this.
每次你要做一个决定的时候，你就问问你自己。
Whether it's a financial decision.
这是一个经济上的一个决定吗？
Or relational decision,
还是一个关系上的决定,
or career decision,
或者是职业上的一个决定,
spiritual decision,
或者是灵性上的决定,
any decision, ask yourself this question.
任何一个决定都问问你自己这个问题。
This is nothing more than a story. What story do I want to tell?
这以后都会成为一个故事。那我要想讲什么样的故事?
And then decide accordingly.
然后你就照着这个故事来做这个决定。
Because you write your story one decision at a time.
因为你每做一个决定，你写下一个故事。
And with your heavenly Father, write a good story worth telling.
跟天父一起写下一个值得去传讲的故事。
Okay, let's pray.
我们一起祷告。
Father, we thank you that you care for our lives.
主啊，我们感谢你，你关心我们的生命。
And you are God who walks with us.
你是跟我们同行的神。
And a God that cares for our story.
你也是关心我们的故事的神。
Because you want us to make decisions that is worthy of telling.
因为你想要我们写下的故事都是值得传讲的故事。
So we ask you that you will help each one of us to just cling on you, that we want to write the story with you.
所以求主帮助我们每个人都依靠你。能够和你一起写我们的故事。
We ask that you would change us and guide us.
求主你改变我们，能够引领我们。
So one day when we go to heaven, that we will be proud to tell our story.
所以有一天我们在天堂，我们可以很骄傲的能够宣把我们的故事讲出来。
We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
奉主耶稣基督的名祷告。阿门。